There's two things really that God wants us to do. The first is to receive His Son as our Savior. God went to a lot of work and expense to provide salvation for us. And all we have to do is believe. We believe in the Lord Jesus, and God saves us and forgives us our sins. The second thing He wants from us is to serve Him. And that's work. And sometimes we don't like work, or we don't think it's important. But working for God is very important. Now, if you were like all of us Americans, we want to say, well, what do we get out of it? And here's the thing. God keeps track of all that we do for Him. And He's going to reward us. And I want to encourage you today, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to trust Him, because then He gives you eternal life. And until you trust Him as your Savior, all the work you do doesn't count. It doesn't count. And so once you receive Jesus as your Savior, then as you serve Him, He keeps track of it. And even the little things He keeps track of. Now I'm going to share with you a story from the Old Testament. And it's about a group of people that were involved in a building project. And they were building a wall around the city of Jerusalem. Now that wall doesn't exist today. It's gone. But in the Bible, God recorded all the names of the people that did that work. Isn't that amazing? You know, we don't know hardly any of the names of the people that lived 4,000 years ago. We don't know them. But we know some of them, because God put their names in the Bible. And what that tells me is that God keeps track of all that we do for Him. Sometimes even other people don't know what we do. But God keeps track. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we think, well, it's not very important. And these people were building a wall around, and it wasn't a very big wall. Sometimes we think of it as a big wall, but it wasn't a very big wall. And yet it was important to God. Now this happened a long time ago, like I said, and because the nation of Israel had sinned, God took their people away into captivity. They were conquered by another king and taken away into captivity. And in the process, their city was torn apart. It was leveled. And it stayed that way for 100 years. But at one point, the king said, you can go back to your land, the people. And they went back. And they were there for a long time, many years, and the wall was still all broken down. Well, the book of the Old Testament that I'm going to read it from is named after the man that God used to go back and build that wall. Now, this man had a very important job, because he was the person who tasted the king's food before the king ate it. And so if somebody tried to poison and kill the king, he got it. So he was a very trusted person, and he probably got paid pretty good. He got a lot of money. But he was going to leave that job to go do this job. And in the book, this is what it says later on when some people tried to get him to stop. He said this. Let me find the page here. He said, they tried to stop. He said, so I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come to you? He says, I'm doing a great work. Now, most of the people in the world won't think that. But here's the important thing. God thinks that. There is one thing that God is doing today. He's building a building. Now, it's not a building like this with walls. It's a building of people, like me and like you. And he calls us stones, but we're not like a big dead stone. We're a living stone. And the Bible says that God puts each stone in a place that pleases him. And so I look at this audience and I said, God has brought you here. God has put you here. Now you may say, well, I decided to come here. And that's true. But God worked in your life to bring you here. In 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, it says, God places us in the body as it pleases him. And so it's important that you're here. God has something for you to do. Well, Nehemiah was off in this land 600 miles from where the wall was going to be built. 600 miles. That's a long way, isn't it? And so one day, his relative came to visit him. And he told him about the wall that he had torn down. And Nehemiah's heart was broken. Because God's city, Jerusalem, the city that God had chosen to place his name, the wall was broken down. And it was discouraging. And so Nehemiah, his heart was broken. And he began to pray that God would use him to build that wall back up. And he prayed for 4 months before God began to answer. Now the interesting thing, when he actually goes back and builds the wall, it only takes him a month and a half to do it. So he prayed for 4 months to do a job that only took a month and a half. And that tells us that praying is important. Now here's what praying does. It helps us see that God has to do the work. You see, when I don't pray, it's because I feel, well, I can do it. I don't need any help. But even if we're very good at what we do, even if we're very talented, we can't do God's work without God's help. He needs, now, well, I shouldn't say he doesn't need our help. He wants our help. He wants our help. God doesn't need anything, does he? He could do anything that he wants. But he looks at you, and he looks at me, and he says, I want to use you to do my work. Now, if one day you got a call on the phone, and you answered it, and it was the President of the United States, and he said, I have a job for you. Will you do it? You would really feel pretty important, wouldn't you? That the President called you. Let me tell you something. This is the God, the creator of heaven and earth. We were singing about, my God is so great. He can do anything. And yet he says, I want to use you in my work. And so Nehemiah said, this is a great work that we're doing. Now it didn't look very impressive, but it was a great work. And so he began to pray that God would help him build that wall. Now the next thing we learn in the book is that there were other people that lived in the land that didn't want them to do that. God always has opposition to what he wants to do. It started way back in the Garden of Eden. You remember? God built this beautiful garden, everything that Adam and Eve needed in it. And who showed up one day? Satan showed up one day. And he wanted to make sure that what God wanted didn't happen. And so he tempted Adam and Eve, and they sinned, and God had to make him leave the garden, didn't he? But you see, Satan didn't win. Because God always had a plan to forgive us of our sin. And so when we read this story, it says that there were a lot of people that didn't want Nehemiah and those people to build this wall. What did they want them to do? They wanted them to quit. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to quit. You see, Satan can't take our salvation away from us. Because once God saves us, we're saved forever. What Satan wants us to do is to stop, to quit serving God. And you know what? Sometimes we want to. Sometimes we want to. But what kept Nehemiah going was that he said, this is God's work. It's a great work. I'm not going to quit. And they tried a lot of different things. One of the things they did, they made fun of them. As they started building this wall and they had to get all the stones that were laying all over, and they started building the wall and finally they had it all completed all the way around, but it was only about this high. And they said, well, even if a little fox jumped on that wall, it would fall down. They made fun of them. They said, look at those people building that puny little wall over there. Well, that's not going to do anything. And sometimes your friends will say that to you. Why do you go to that little church? There's not very many people there. That's not important. Why do you do that? And they try to get you to quit. But you see, what you have to remember, it's God's work. It's a great work that God is doing. We sometimes think, well, if it's not big, it's not important. But God doesn't think that way. If you read through the New Testament, you remember one time the Lord Jesus fed over 5,000 people all at once. And how did he do that? Well, he started with a little boy who had 5 little loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Now, did he need those bread and fish? He didn't need them. He could have just spoken and all the food would have been there. But he wanted to use that little lunch. Did you ever think about what did that little boy think of? When the disciple Andrew brought him up to the Lord and said, all we have is this little boy with the lunch. And maybe he thought, well, he's giving it to the Lord Jesus, the teacher, so he would have a lunch to eat. And so he was giving it to the Lord. And that's what we do. Whatever we have, we're giving it to the Lord. But what does the Lord do with it? Why, he takes it and multiplies it, doesn't he? And so God likes to use the little things that we do. He noticed one day a widow, a poor widow, that only put 2 pennies in the collection. And he said, she's given more than all of them. He said, even if you just give somebody a cup of cold water out of love for me, I will reward you. So sometimes we think, well, if I can't do something big, then it doesn't really matter. But it does matter. It does matter. Because you see, it's a great work that God is doing. Now, like I said, that wall that they built is gone. If you wanted to go try to find that wall today, you wouldn't find it. It's been broken down. But what God is building today will last forever. Because he's building the church, made up of people just like you and me. And as he saves us, he puts us in his building, and we're going to be part of that group forever. Forever. Suppose God uses you in the life of a person, and they come to trust Christ as their Savior, and they're going to be part of that building forever. God used you to do something that will last forever. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, sometimes we work hard in this life and we build things, and what happens to them? They eventually rust and fall apart, don't they? Even Mr. Mark, he's building these big machines for John Deere, but why do they have to keep building them? Because they wear out and break. They don't last forever. But what God does for through us in a place like this, He does forever. It lasts forever. And so, Nehemiah, God, he went to the king, and the king said, "You can go." And that was an amazing thing, that God answered Nehemiah's prayer, and the king said, "You can go. And not only will I let you go, I'm going to help you. I'm going to send letters so that the people back there will provide the stuff you need to do your work." And so that's what God does. He puts us to work on a certain project, and He says, "I'm going to help you." And sometimes He brings along other people. Sometimes He provides the things we need, the money or the whatever it is, and He helps us do it. But we have to get out there and do it, don't we? And Satan will be right there, and he'll say, "This is not important. This is not worth all your time. Just quit and do what you want to do and enjoy life. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a great work." Well, so Nehemiah showed up in this town, and he went out one night, and he was riding on a horse, and he looked at the wall and all that was needed to be done, and he saw what needed to be done. And so he encouraged the people to help him. And so they started building. And in chapter 3 of the book of Nehemiah, it starts listing all of these people's names. And so they were kind of all around the different areas of the wall that needed to be built. And so it said that they, first of all, the priests stood up and they built the sheep gate. And that's the gate that they would bring in the sheep that were going to be the sacrifices. And so that was something they saw was important. And so they started working on what they saw was important. And it was important. And so God used them. And then it said, next to them, the men of Jericho built. Next to them, the son of Imri built. And the sons of Hesaniah, they built the fish gate. And they laid the beams and hung its doors. And next to them, another person worked. And next to them, another person worked. And so here they were all around the wall. God was using every person to do His little part. And that's the way God works. Now sometimes God uses people to do different things that they're not used to. For instance, it said in verse 8, it says, Uzziel, the son of Hanariah, of the goldsmiths, made repairs. And next to him, one of the perfumers made repairs. Well, here is a person that was working, that would make jewelry or maybe vases out of gold. And here's another person that they would mix different things together to make perfume. And that was part of their worship. But now they're lifting big rocks. And maybe they're saying, "Well, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed..." But it was, you see. And sometimes we do things that we say, "Well, this is not really my thing, but it needs to be done. It needs to be done." And so we do it. And so, and then it says next to him, an official of the district made repairs. So here is a very important person. He was an official. He was like the mayor or the senator or something. But he's out there lifting rocks too. And turning them over and with the shovel but so he was doing it too. And then it says, and next to them, Jedidiah made repairs opposite his house. And another one made repairs opposite his house. Now that was important for them because the wall, you see, was going to protect their house, wasn't it? Well, we use the word house in a lot of different ways. Sometimes we use that God's house, and we think of the building that God is building, the church. But sometimes we think of my house, and it's my family, and the people in my house, and I want to protect them, don't I? Yeah. And I can do that as God uses me to serve Him. And so they were going to benefit from this work. This wall was going to protect them. And so they built where they were. And then it says in verse 12, an official of half the district of Jerusalem made repairs, he and his daughters. So here's people, and they're getting their family involved in the work. Their children come in. So when you come here to Oak Ridge, and we have the children in the back, don't we? Because we want them to learn about the Lord Jesus too. And so they included their children, their young men, in this work that God was doing. And so they kept going. Now, and it's different. Here's a person. He was an official of the district, and it names his name that he was a district. This is verse 14. And he repaired the refuse gate. Oh, how would you like to have that job? That was where he took out the garbage and all the sewage and all that stuff. And here was this important guy, and what job does he get? He gets to make the garbage gate. But you see, it was still the work of the Lord, wasn't it? It was still God's work. It didn't matter that was going to be used to take out the garbage. It was part of the wall. It needed to be built. And so here's this important person, and maybe he shows up in front of Nehemiah, and he says, well, I'm going to get a good job. And Nehemiah says, well, we need somebody over here to fix the garbage gate. Will you do that? And he does it. Here's the lesson. There's no work of God that isn't important. And sometimes we're doing things and we say, well, nobody notices. And I don't get any notoriety. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Is that true? No, it's not. God knows. And when we go way into the New Testament, this is what he says. Don't do what you do for men to thank you, for men to praise you. Don't do it so other people will see it. Do it for God. And He'll see it. Because if you do it so other people will see it, they're not always going to see it. Because you see, they're interested in what they're doing. But God sees it. God sees it. And so, it wasn't a very important job, but he did it, as far as the world was concerned. Now, way down in verse 20, it says this, and after him, Barak, the son of Zebiah, zealously repaired another section. Well, zealous, what does that mean? That's a big word that says he was excited about doing it. He did it as best as he could. You know, sometimes if we feel that something isn't important, we just kind of do it half-heartedly. Like these guys that were playing the guitar, what were they? They're tuning their guitar so it sounds good, right? So that we enjoy that. It's important to do it right. It's important to do it right, isn't it? Why? Because God is worth it. It's worth it to do it right for God. And so these men, they didn't just show up and say, oh man, another day at work. They said, let's go. We're building the wall. Let's do it. And they were excited about serving God. And you know what? We need to be excited about serving God. Sometimes we can get kind of down and thinking, well, this is awful hard. And it's not very much fun, and nobody notices anyway. It's God's work. You know, if it was the president, we'd do it right, wouldn't we? How about God? How about God? Nehemiah says, this is a great work that we're doing. A great work that God has called us to do. And so he did it with enthusiasm. And next verse, it shows that neighbors help neighbors. And so sometimes we need help. And so we call people to help us. Will you help me do this? And so we work together. We work together to serve the Lord. And so they kept going. And it says in verse 20, and they did the horse gate, and the priest carried out repairs, each in front of his house. And so the area that God gave them, they make sure they did that area good. They did it right. And that's what God wants to see from us. God wants us to see that this is a great work, and God wants us to do it, and to do it the best we can for Him. For Him. Now, we don't know when the workday is going to end. Someday, the Lord will come back. And you know what He says in the Bible? I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. You know, one of the things that you enjoy when you're a parent is being able to give your children gifts, because they get all excited. And they like that. God is that way. He proved that by giving us already the greatest gift of all, didn't He? He gave us His Son. And He has a lot of stuff He wants to give us. He says, I'm coming quickly, and I'm bringing your reward with me. These people that lived over maybe 4,000 years ago now, they're going to get a reward for putting that big stone in that wall that doesn't even exist today. Because they served the Lord. Because they said, this is a great work that we're doing. Now, sometimes God uses people to discourage us. And they say, well, you could do other things that are better than this. You could use your time to do this or that, and it would be much more enjoyable to you. And you have to realize that what's happening when that happens is Satan wants us to quit. To quit. And we can't quit. Because we're doing a great work. And you need to be reminded of that. Because we often think of greatness in different ways than God does. We think of greatness as a lot of people. We think of greatness as big buildings. We think of greatness in many other ways. But wherever God puts us, they were doing it right in front of their house. They were doing it where Nehemiah wanted them to do it. It was a work that needed to be done. And because of that, it was a great work. And there were young people doing it. There were old people that were doing it. There were important people that were doing it. There were people that maybe weren't very important doing it. But everyone was doing their part. Well, at one point, it's done. It's done. The wall was finished. In 52 days, they built this wall. Now, it wasn't a big wall. It only encompasses maybe 10 acres of land. It wasn't very big at all. But it was done. And they had been discouraged, and they had had people that tried to stop them, and they had people that made fun of them, but it was done. And when it was done, they had a celebration. And they walked around the wall praising the Lord. It was done. Someday, God's building is going to be done. Now, it's not a building we see in the sense of we think of a building. It's a building we see in the sense that we look at each other. And maybe there's some people you know that need to trust Christ as their Savior. And God can use you to tell them about the Lord Jesus and the salvation that He offers for those who believe. And God can use you, and you think of it as picking up this stone and putting it in that building that God is building. And you see, that's a great work, because that building is going to last forever. Now you might say, well, I have to go to a job. How can I build a church if I have to go to work and I work at this job and whatever it is, you know, and maybe I'm at a factory, or maybe like Travis, you're at a school and teaching kids, and how can I do that? Well, when we come to the Bible, to the New Testament, and in the book of Colossians, it says this, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Let me go and read this, because it'll be helpful for you to see this. He says this, whatever you do, this is in Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, do your work heartily, that means zealously, like that man was building the wall and he was excited and he felt it was important, and he knew it was important. And so he says, do it heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men. Now notice this, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance, for it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So when you go to work, whatever you're doing, suppose you're like Mark and you're making this machine, and you have to figure out how to put it together and all of this stuff, and you might say, well, this machine isn't going to last for very long anyway. How can this be serving the Lord? And yet he says, well, I'm doing it because I'm imagining that the Lord is going to drive this machine. And I want it to be the best possible. You see? He says, I'm doing it for the Lord. And that's really what we do. We do what we do because the Lord is there. And he says, it's from the Lord you're going to get your reward. Now, just because your company pays you a salary, that's so that you can live and buy food and so forth. But God says, I have something greater than that for you. Because eventually what happens, you're going to have to leave all that money here, aren't you? You can't take it with you. But here's something you can take with you. Over in the book of Revelation, in chapter 13, let me find this verse and I'll read it to us. Chapter 14, verse 13, it says this, and I heard the voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. You see, all the money that John Deere pays Mr. Mark, he has to leave here, doesn't he? But all the work you do for the Lord, and sometimes that's giving your money to the Lord too, it follows with you. It follows with you. And so what you do for the Lord will last for eternity. So what do I want to encourage us with today? Just this. You have to see that you're important in God's plan. Now you may not be very important as far as the world is concerned. Well, you'll be pretty soon, because somebody will want you to vote for them. So then you're important for a little while. But you're important to God. And I'm not just trying to say that so you'll feel good and go away and say, boy, I feel pretty good. Because it is true. How do I know you're important to God? Because He gave His Son to get you. And when somebody pays that much of a price, It's because they think that what they get is important. And now God wants to use you. And here's the thing you need to see. Satan wants you to quit. That's what those people wanted to do. They wanted to get him to stop building the wall. But they said, we can't do it. It's a great work that we're doing. And that's what's important for you to see today. That when God saves you, and then he wants to use you, and it may be in a small way, it may be in a way that even nobody knows. So oftentimes, what God wants us to do is to pray like Nehemiah prayed. And we wouldn't even know that he prayed unless it was recorded in this book, would we? But it's important to pray for God to use you and to help you to do what he wants you to do. And God has a great plan. And we don't know what it will all look like when God is done. But it will be a great building. Now it's interesting that I don't have my watch on me. What is that clock? 5 minutes to, is that? Okay. Because one of the prophets that spoke during this time, and they had two men that were prophets, and their job was to encourage the people, Haggai and Zechariah, because the people, it was easy to get discouraged. And so in the book of Zechariah, which is almost at the end of the Old Testament, and chapter 4, Zechariah has this vision. And he sees this lampstand. It was part of the Old Testament tabernacle. And it's interesting when you come to the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, and John sees the seven churches, what are they? They're lampstands, aren't they? They're lights. See, God wants us to be a light. And so he sees this, and he says, what are these? And notice what he says. He answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord, says Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? And he's saying he saw this. This was really talking about the temple building it. And the mountain was in the sense of this big problem. He says, this big problem is not a big problem to God. Notice what he says. You will become a plain. You'll become flat. And he will bring forth a top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. How is he going to do it? Well, he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so God has given each one of us who know him as our Savior, his Holy Spirit, to enable us to serve him. Okay? He's given us his spirit in us. The same spirit by which Jesus did miracles. Now I'm not saying that we can do miracles in the sense that he did, because that was for a particular time. But he's given us his spirit so that we can serve him. And he says, you'll have power when the spirit comes upon you. And it's power to serve the Lord. But then he goes on to saying, he says, what are these two olive trees? Well, they're God's unending supply of power through the Holy Spirit. And he says later on in his chapter, he says that the glory of this house, that temple, which was not very glorious then, would one day be very glorious. Because God would bring the gold and the silver in, and it would be done. What that tells us is this. We may not look very impressive now, but when God's building is done, it will be impressive. When he's done, it will be a great thing. And you and I can be part of it if we don't quit. Satan tries to get us to quit. God says, don't quit. This is a great work I'm doing. God's only building one building today. It's his church. And he wants you and me to be part of it. First of all, you have to be saved. You can't serve God until you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But once you do, He gives you a great work to do. Always look at it from God's perspective. It's a great work. And God wants to use you, and He wants to use me. Don't quit. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the great work that You are doing, the great work that You accomplished at the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ went and did that work that we could not do. He gave Himself so that You, a holy God, could forgive us of our sins. And now, Father, You've given us a work to do, a great work to do, to work for You, to serve You, in the building of Your house, the church. And one day that capstone will be put in place, and we will rejoice. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that You've given to us. We thank You for Your word which You've given to us to guide us, to instruct us. And Father, we pray that we will be builders who are enthusiastic, who are willing to make the sacrifices, because this is a great work which You are doing. Keep us from quitting. Make us faithful, we pray. We thank You for the Lord Jesus. We thank You that You put us into service so that we can serve You, a God who doesn't need anything, and yet You want us to serve You. We thank You for that. Help us to be faithful, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.